so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm not going to call it a series, but go to the first slide there, or not the first one, but the title slide. I want to take the next four Wednesday nights, and I just want to talk about change is coming. Change is coming. One thing about change is you can't stop it. It's coming. I mean, you know, I saw this young man today, and he was out riding his motorcycle. And he said to me, didn't have a lot of jackets on or anything. He goes, "Well, but I'm young and I'm tough." And I said, "And dumb." But anyway, it was this guy over here. He said, "I'm young and I'm tough." And I said, "Okay." And I, you know, it doesn't matter how good you take care of yourself. There's going to be changes. Hair is going to turn gray. What doesn't turn gray turns loose. There's going to be changes. I don't. If you're like me, my chest has sunk to my drawers. You know, just going to be changes. I remember I used to lose weight pretty quick, but now I'm just trying to keep it at bay. You know, like the one old guy went to the doctor. He goes, "Well," he had his yearly checkup, and the doctor said, "Well, you know, bro, you gained 5 pounds this year." He goes, "Well, that ain't too bad. My age," he was 62 years old, he said, "my age, I've only gained 5. He goes, "The problem is you've gained 5 the last 10 years every year. And so, you know, you're 50 pounds overweight. So, you know, you just can't keep change away. The other day, I decided that I was going to get a little bit more healthy. So I jumped in the floor to do 25 push-ups. I quit at 5. Change is just it's inevitable. You can't stop it. It's coming. And you either learn how to navigate it and embrace it and to channel it, but you can't stop it. It's going to happen. And if I'm going to change, I want to change for the better instead of the worse. I want to get better instead of get worse. "Well, now, preacher, I just want to stay the same." But you can want all you want to. Spit in one hand and want in the other. See which one fills up. Because I promise you, you're going to change. And our text is all about really change. You might go, no, it is. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is probably my second or third favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible. It reads like this: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that I have already sensed in this place. I thank you for these precious people, God, who are here tonight to initiate change in their lives. And I give you glory, I give you praise, that you help us to complete what you began in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, one of the things I've learned, and I'm not that old, but I'm not that young anymore, that change is a continual process that begins with the renewing of your mind. People will never change until they feel the heat, or they get new information. When you get new information and you process that information and it becomes a reality in you, then you can begin to change. But change begins with the renewing of your mind. And when you change, you got to get rid of some stuff, some old things, you got to get rid of some things in your life and add other stuff there. God has given you the power to change. And I want to talk to you today, and the simple title of this message is The Power to Change Yourself. Because we want to change everybody else. But the reality is you only got the power to change yourself. Well, I hear some of you spiritual people right now. Well, by God, I'll pray for them. And the Bible says prayer changes things. And it does, but it doesn't. You can't change the person that you're praying for. Prayer does more to change you than it does the things you're praying about. Prayer changes you. And I 100% believe that prayer does change things. But when you're dealing with somebody else, they've got a mind, they've got a will, they have emotions, and just because you pray and they can stomp their foot, put their heels in and go, I'm not changing, and there's nothing you can do about it. A good whop upside the head won't do it no good. God has given you the power to change. And although it may be difficult and uncomfortable, it will bring, in many areas, healing and restoration and transformation of your life. If you let it. I mean, you know, I used to think that I love change. But I've decided I don't like change unless it's my idea. I like it when it's my idea. Right? Because if I thought it, it's got to be good, right? That's what we think. That's not me, you little liar. It is you. But change is not a one-time event. Change is a process. I mean, I hope after 32 years of marriage, because I got married when I was 6, after 32 years of marriage, I am from Alabama, Hey, she ain't my sister. I'm not from West Virginia. I'm looking at if you don't know it yet, I'm looking at Steve Miller's mom and dad and just messing with y'all because they still live in West Virginia. It's all right. Steve told me y'all was cousins. I'm kidding. All right. Yeah, he used to like me. This is my alter ego that's preaching today. So anyway, I don't know where I'm at now. Oh, the power to change. It's not a one-time event. I hope that I'm a better husband today than I was when I began. Because, you know, you didn't know grits was groceries if you was as young as I was when I got married. I had an idea of what it was. I had an idea of what a husband should have been or what it should be. But man, I got new information. Usually it was shoveled to me by my wife. I'm a great husband. Really? Let me share her this with you. Nobody. Let me tell you, you know. And so I had to get new information to constantly and continual change. In one sense of me, I would like to get to a place where I go, dun da da, I have arrived. Wouldn't it be great that you go, hey man, I made it, and I can just relax. But it ain't. At 70 some years old, nobody has arrived. You didn't arrive. There's still some things in you that you are not Jesus. And so there's still some things in us that needs to be changed. And God has given us that power to do so with His help. Now, I know I hear some religious people right now saying, well, you can't change without Jesus. Well, some people do. And they do it on their own. But the correct change, and it becomes easier change, and the correct change is when you do it according to God's Word, with His Holy Spirit, with Jesus in your life and in your heart. That's the real change. You know, listen, I have on the front row, other than this young woman right here, a bunch of ex-alcoholics. Right? I know I'm supposed to say alcoholics, but I'm saying ex because y'all ain't. But they'll tell you that you'll never change until you find that higher power. All right? Now, I remember... Good Lord, how long has it been now, Gypsy, when you walked down the aisle and started coming to the church here? 3 years ago. He said five. He's so old, he don't even remember. 3 years ago, I'm picking on you right now. I'm sorry. I love you. So 3 years ago, Gypsy walked down the aisle, and he's been in AA for 20 years. He goes, Pastor, he said, I've just come to the conclusion that if I'm going to continue my change and really have lasting, I need Jesus to be my higher power. Amen. So he's been sober now for 20, 30 years. Come on, give God praise. so if you want that change to last, and if you want that change to really change your life, you don't sit on the outside saying, I need it, or I'm going to change. That's called do better. But see, when Jesus comes inside of you, he said, all things are passed away. Behold, all become new. You become a new regenerated person. That you're not the same person you used to be. Change means to alter, to shift, or make different. I've met people go, I don't want to be different. And I tell them, everybody around you wants you to be. In order for change to take place around you, it must begin in you. I get this all the time, man. I mean, I've been doing this for a little while now. I've been pastoring for a while. And I have people tell me sometimes, well, Pastor, I don't know how I got here. Really? Well, what you mean, like get here on earth, or got here as a baby, or got here in your life? Let's look at your circumstances. And everybody wants to talk about the circumstances that was done to them, the circumstances of what happened to them, what side of the tracks they were born, whether they're white, black, yellow, purple, yellow, it doesn't matter. They want to talk about all these other things. Let's talk about the decisions that you made while those circumstances were happening to you, because you have the power of choice. That's what God gave you. But it would have been hard to walk through. Yes, sometimes changing is hard. But if you'll walk through it, if you'll go through the hard process, if you'll go through the hard choices and the hard decisions, when you get to the other side, you're going to look back over and say, I'm so glad that I chose this life. I'm so glad that I gave Jesus my life, because I promise you, it might not always be this way. It might not always be joy unspeakable and full of glory, but if you will go through the process of what Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, I promise you, you will get to a place that said, I don't want any other life than a life with Jesus as my Savior. Well, I'm preaching better than you're amening. But change begins with the renewing of your mind and altering the way you think. Have you ever talked to people and just think, what planet do you really from? You ever talk to people and go, man, Pastor, you don't do this. No, I don't. I just know people who do. You talk to them and go, wow, you really are an idiot. I don't ever do that. No. Pastor Steve does, but I don't. But you ever talk to people and you think, you can't even figure out how they're thinking. And why? It's because of the fact that many times they don't have this. Now, let me go one step further. I don't know why I'm on this kick today. Let me go one step further. I know a lot of people in this, I want to think, what version of that Bible are you reading? It ain't in there. You know, well, you got to go back to the hieroglyphics in order to figure it out. No, just read it, baby. Just read it. But if you'll take this Bible, this Word of God, and begin to put it inside of you, it will begin to affect the way that you think, the way that you move. Jesus said, I am the way, I am in you, and he affects the way we move, live, and have our very being. So if I'm going to change the way that I think, it begins with my mind. And I've got to decide, and I've got to let this change the way that I think. You know, I'm not bashing Oprah, but man, I'm thinking everybody gets their opinions on Oprah just because she's rich. And because she cares for people. But I promise you, that if you ask her for $1 million, personally, she's not going to give it to you. Or if you ask her, listen, would you die for me? It's not going to happen. But we take her advice over biblical advice. You'll talk to people who've been married 72 times. And want to get marriage counseling for them. Oh, that's right, Pastor. That's why I just shack up. Or you talk to people who don't have a good marriage, and that's the reason why you are shacked up, because you're afraid of it. Why don't you get around somebody who has a great marriage with God in the center of it? Now, hang on before you clap. Hang on, because I'm going to get somebody mad. Nobody in here is going to be somebody from the internet. But what you want, don't clap for that, because you're going to say, well, I got God in my marriage and we shacked up. No, you do not. If God's there, He's trying to convict you of your sin. I probably should have let you preach tonight. I'm not even mad. Look at somebody telling me, he ain't even mad. It's all good. I ain't mad at nobody but the devil. I ain't mad at nobody. I just want people to learn that you can change. You ain't got to be the same way that you are. You know? Listen, I understand. Pastor, I know a bunch of jerks who are Christians. So do I. I pastor them. They'll be here Sunday, hopefully. In the 11 o'clock service, that's what Gypsy said. Just because you were a jerk and you got saved, that just makes you a saved jerk. But what happens, even if you're a saved jerk, you begin to put this in your spirit and get this in your mind. It begins to alter your mind and change who you are. And you become changed from the inside out. And you'll get to a place where people don't even recognize who you are. I knew you back when, but who are you now? And you can tell them, I'm a child of God, whose my mind's been renewed by the Word of God, and I'm not the same person I used to be. That guy you used to be, that guy that you knew, that person you knew, it died. It went down in the water. Come on, somebody. And when I came up, I was renewed, and I buried that old fella. What sins are you talking about? I don't know who that is. Hey, change can be a difficult process. However, it is necessary. People love the result of change. However, they don't always like the process of change. You know, I love, you know, not all babies, but most babies, I love that smell of babies. Not, post-diaper change. Post-bath. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That baby smell, that Johnson & Johnson baby stuff. I love that stuff, man. That smells good. Baby powder, I like that. However, they don't always smell like that. And somebody had to go through the mess, figuratively and literally, for the change to happen. But everybody, including the person who got changed, is happy on the other side of the dirty process of change. Whew, I'm going to buy a CD when I get done. Point number two is this. Change involves adding and subtracting things to and from your life. If you think you're going to change and nothing around you or in you is going to change, no, you're just hoping. You're just wishing. You're just clicking your heels together three times. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. Not unless you add something or subtract something. Now, listen to me. There are people in your life right now. If you've been around this church, you know what I'm going to say. There are people who add to you. There are people who subtract from you. There are people who multiply you and people who divide you. They're already there. And what you got to make sure is happening is that there are more people adding and multiplying to you than those that are subtracting and dividing you. Well, Pastor, what do I do? If there's more people subtracting and dividing you, then you start cutting some ties if it's necessary. You start deleting some folks off Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat and tell them to lose my address. You quit answering the phone. Listen. I consider myself a strong person, strong mind, strong back. Whew. I consider myself a strong person. However, I recognize that if I get around a certain group of people, there's a pull on me to act a certain way. I know some of y'all wished I'd get around some other folks who would quit making me act the way I do right now. But anyway. But I understand that. And when I first got saved, there was a couple of people that I had to let go of. When I first got saved, you know, I was a single man when I got saved. And my sister would go, you know, when I met Sherry, when my wife, my present wife, I said, man, being around her makes me want to serve God. Being around my old compadres made me want to go drop it like it's hot. You know, made me want to go party and do some of those. So I had to cut some things off. Because here's the deal. They were leading me down a path of destruction. Or they were, and usually, you know, let me rephrase that. They wasn't leading me because I was the leader of the pack. But they just, whatever, you know, some people go, well, that gave me the courage. No, that's just the way we were going. That's where we were going. And you know what? When I turned and gave my heart to Christ, I expected them to follow me. But I wasn't the one that was taking care of the bill anymore. And all of a sudden, they didn't follow me. What I'm trying to tell you is in order to change, you got to add some things and subtract things. You just can't just click your heels together and say it's going to change. It ain't going to happen. You know, I love that commercial, and I made reference to this. You know, I decided to get in shape, so I did 5 push-ups. Now I'm in shape. Round is a shape. But anyway, but you don't understand. You can't just eat one piece of broccoli and say, I'm healthy. I was out with somebody the other day, and matter of fact, it was yesterday, and we ordered a meal, and, you know, and I've been eating bad because of Thanksgiving, so I'm with this guy, and this guy always eats good. Makes me sick. He eats like oats. I was like, why do you eat that stuff? He goes, it's healthy for me. I said, do you like it? He goes, no, I hate it. I go, I'm not eating like that. So I get in there, and I'm trying to be better, so I order chicken. I wanted beef. Order chicken. There you go. And he's looking at me. I can feel him eyes on me. I'll take chicken, and I'll take a sweet potato. And he went to do that, and I go, with brown sugar and butter. Ain't nobody want to eat no sweet potatoes dry. If he hadn't been with me, I might have got marshmallows and caramel on it. But anyway. And then I ordered a thing of broccoli. He went, yeah, I got some broccoli. I did eat it. I ate the whole thing. Matter of fact, I told him he ain't in church today. I'm going to get you. Because I said, make sure you tell everybody I ate this whole broccoli. I want everybody to be proud of me. Come on. Oh, thank you. Thank you, John. It was still nasty, but I ate it. But anyway. In order for change to happen, man, you got to add and subtract some things from your life. Now, let me tell you this. God works through relationships. Most of you are here tonight because at some point in your life, either somebody invited you to this church or somebody invited you to church. Somebody invited you to talk to you about Jesus. God works through relationships. Let me help you. So does the devil. Now, here, it is hot. I don't want to take it off because then y'all see all my fat. But anyway. Hey, I'm tough. So anyway. I got to cool down. Now, I'm good. Hey, if everybody else is comfortable, don't worry about me, man. I'm good. God works through relationships. Now you got to get this concept. When God gets ready, y'all hot too? Uh-huh. Well, y'all are so conceited. I got them women over here going, I'm hot. I'm hot. You're so conceited, doggone. Tim's getting some distance. All right, listen. Listen, you got to get this. When God gets ready to bless you, when God gets ready to do something in your life, He usually brings somebody into your life. Now, here's the problem. When the devil gets ready to get you, he usually sends somebody into your life. And so the task at hand is you got to know who's been sent by whom. Because let me tell you something. Just because she's fine don't mean that she's of God. Oh, who's minding the store in heaven since you fell to earth? What you really ought to be saying is who's minding the store in hell? Because you a demon sent to destroy me. Come on, somebody. You got to know who's been sent by whom. Now, we can say, yeah, that's right for the single people or the married people in the opposite sex. But it's the same way with individuals too, though. You know, I mean, I'm a dude, and if you're not careful, somebody will come along that has the same interest that you have and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, they're influencing you away from church, away from God, away from the things that you know. You start hanging with them instead of hanging with your spouse. Come on, somebody. You start just chilling out, and next thing you know, you're going by the bar and having a few beers, and the next thing you're out of church, you're away from God, and you've changed. You got to know who's been sent by whom. I'm not telling you this to be suspect of everybody who comes into your life. Hey, my name's so-and-so. Hey, what? And I'm not saying get weird. You Pentecostals. Yes, I am one. We can get weird. Let me hold your hand. Hey. Oh, for the Lord would say unto me, you have been sent by the devil himself. No, man. I'm just saying, you know, we got to be realistic. But if you don't think that happens, I've seen person after person who's been in this church started dating the wrong person, and the next thing you know, they done fell out from God. Well, I'm just tired of being lonely. I'm tired. I'm tired of not having what I want. I want double stuffed chocolate fudge blizzards every day of my life. But if I want to be able to fit in these jeans, I can't do it. I don't know where this stuff comes from. Let me ask you, what relationship in your life do you need to get out of your life? Don't you point at your spouse. Well, Pastor, what do I do? No. You didn't ask God about getting in this marriage, so now you know, at some point, there might be a some point in time, but you got to work on it and make it work. If you knew that there wasn't a way out of a room that is on fire, you would quit looking for the way out and start concentrating on putting the fire out. So let's look at it. Now, that doesn't work all the time. I'll be the first to tell you. Again, because you can't change other people. Good preaching, Pastor. Who do you need to allow into your life? See, some of you are missing out on stuff because you won't let nobody into your life. Because people have hurt you so many times. Let me help you. If you live long enough, people are going to hurt you. People you don't want to hurt you are going to hurt you. If you live long enough. If you live long enough, they're going, you know, well, Pastor, what do? You say, next. Just move on. What are you going to do? Well, I want to kill them. Let it go, baby. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Trust me. I figured it out. That after the second person I killed, it ain't worth it. I'm kidding. I really am. I'm just kidding. No need to go looking down in Ozella. I think my sugar's low. I don't know, man. Listen, insanity, the clinical definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. It doesn't work. You're going to get the same thing you've always got if you keep doing the same thing you've always done. Nothing will change unless you do something different. I've told this story before. Some of you are like, you told every story before. Well, I'm not. I've just got to live a little bit longer. I'm waiting for you not to be here so I can tell the story on you. But anyway, I'm kidding. Guys working on a high rise in Chicago, each one of them complained about their lunch every day. One of them got ham, one of them got bologna, the other guy got peanut butter every day, every day, every day. So one day one guy says, I'm sick and tired of this lunch. If I get this one more day, I'm just going to jump off this building. Each one of them said, me too, me too, me too. So the next day came, sure enough, the first guy opened his lunch box, ham again, threw it down and just jumped off. Next guy, bologna, really? Jumped off. Next guy goes, peanut butter, jumps off. So the women are crying and everything, and they're huddled together. Why did our three guys commit this suicide thing? Why did they jump off? And one of them said, and one of them was crying. He said, if he would have just told me, I would have changed the ham. I wouldn't have gave him ham. The other woman said, if mine would have told me, I wouldn't have gave him bologna. The last gal said, I don't know why my guy did. He makes his own lunch. And that's what some of us do, man. I'm so tired of this. Well, change. I'm so tired of being broke. Quit overspending. And how about work? What a concept. I can't find a job. Yeah, you can't. Every day of my life, I go by Dunkin' Donuts. They are hiring. I ain't working no Dunkin' Donuts. Come on, girl. Pay the bill, don't it? Get a check. Come on. That's my barista right there. Pays the bills. Well, bless God, I ain't going to dig no ditch. Well, you might as well. Are you listening to me? I didn't go 4 years of college to work. Man, I'll get up here. I'll fit some hamburgers and McDonald's. Do whatever you got to do. If you're not willing to change, quit complaining about what you're allowing. I got like three more points. I got to go. There must be a putting on and a taking off to experience change. When you change, and I've already talked a little bit about it, but when you change a baby's diaper, you take off the old, clean the baby, and put on the new. You don't just change diapers without cleaning the mess. And you don't just put a diaper over the old stinky diaper. See, that's, oh God, I'm trying to hurry. But that's what we do. We come to church stinking. Not y'all, but some of them boys and girls over there, they be stinking. Woo. I had a boy come up, hug me, right? Hey, Pastor. How you doing? Y'all know in Pentecost we have prayer lines. I'm going to have a deodorant line. Just psh, 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 psh. Y'all come up with your hands raised. Yeah, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. You double praise him. Just stand there right where you at and praise him. Come on. Bad, man. But what we do at church is we come into church with our stinking lives. And what we do is we just throw Jesus or church over our stench. And we try to operate in that manner. Nothing's changed. We say, well, I'm a Christian now. I got my Christian coat on. I'm from the Crystal River Church of God. What's changed in your life? Nothing. I just now go to church. So you just put a clean diaper on old dirty diapers, what you did. And everybody sees the clean diaper, but you still smell like you know what. And I hope I ain't offending anybody. because there'll be plenty of other times to be offended. This little old stuff shouldn't be offended. And that's what we do. So we walk around looking like a Christian because we come to church, we lift our hands, we know what to do, when to do it, when to do it, but we still stink. And it's because we didn't change. We didn't take nothing off. We just put something on. What God wants you to do is, He says, take off your filthy rags and let me give you the garment of praise. Let me put a robe of righteousness on you. Take off your filthy rags. Let me wash you and make you clean. See, God don't just put righteousness on you. He washes you first with the blood of his Son. And that blood will take the stench off of anybody. Come on, somebody. One drop of that blood will take the stench. Well, you don't know where I've been. Well, maybe you don't know Jesus, baby. His blood's better than Ajax. It'll take the stink off of you. That's my God we're talking about. So, let's go a little bit further with this thing. You must put off the old man, how you used to be, and put on the new man, who you are in Christ. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Many Christians try to keep the old and then put on the new. However, in order to experience change, you got to get rid of the old and put on the new. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You saying that when I get saved and that happens to me, then I'm 100%? No, there's a process. Some things happen instantaneously. Instantaneously, your spirit, you're saved. But then there's a process to get you through some stuff. Amen? Point number three is this. It is possible to change. I mean, just look around. I mean, some of you I knew before you knew Jesus. Some of y'all know each other before Jesus. Matter of fact, I know some of y'all when y'all had church, but not Jesus. I know some of y'all when you had religion, but not Jesus. Now, listen to me. I 100% believe, and not because I'm the pastor, I 100% believe that if you're going to call yourself that you've got Jesus, then you're going to have church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You need to be in the church because this is practice. If you can't get along with folks here, how are you going to get along with folks in the world? God has given you the power to change. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Power is the ability to change and get results. The enemy will try to use your circumstances, your emotions, to make you think that you don't have power, but the Word says you do. The devil will try to tell you, you can't change. You've been this way too long. Blase, blase, blase. But the devil is a liar. You can change. I don't care if you're 60 years old, if you're 70 years old, if you're 80 years old, or if you're 19 years old, you can change with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can change by the power of Christ. I mean, I've seen change in many of you. I've known you when you first got saved. Some of you I knew before you got saved. And then you got saved in me, and I've seen the change happen in you. You do not have to fear being unable to change because the power to change is within you. Point number four is this. Change may bring unrest and mixed feelings, but we must not be afraid of it. Man, we don't need to be afraid of this. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid I'll lose who I am. No, you're going to find who you were created to be. You know, God's not looking for everybody to be cookie cutters. One of the things I love about our church is, man, we have a smorgasbord of people who are different. And you would be surprised and amazed. I'm glad that everybody don't look the same. I'm glad that God's not looking for you. You don't lose your uniqueness. Matter of fact, you find your uniqueness with God. See, change may be found in the midst of trouble, But we must be willing to go through the process. Because when you step into troubled waters, we have the opportunity to be healed. That's what Jesus, or in John chapter 5, verses 2 through 6, troubled waters, the pool of Bethesda, the water was troubled. And as the water was troubled, people would try to get in for the healing to take place. Sometimes the trouble in your life is God giving you the opportunity to step into the process of what God wants to do. And when you come out of that, it's going to be change. Brittany, can I use you for a moment, baby? I hope you don't mind. Now, I don't know a lot about Brittany, but Brittany came through the Oasis house. So she was addicted. She had some issues. But she's come through that. And through her trouble, she walked through that trouble and she came to this church. She gave her heart to Christ. We baptized her a little bit. She's graduated from Oasis House. She's a different person from who she did. But she cannot be afraid of it. The trouble helped her find the change. Thank God. Come on, give Brittany a hand. Many Christians want to avoid every bit of trouble. But avoiding trouble often removes the opportunities for healing. Now, I'm not talking about those people who are just walking around looking for trouble. I call them storm chasers. They like the storm. You know, how many is a storm chaser in here? Don't raise your hand. I know Trinity and Crystal, they like to weather people. They love. I ain't going toward no storm. I'm trying to stay away from it. Jesus didn't avoid trouble. He embraced the storm. Jesus found peace in the storm, and so can you. And we must learn to find peace in the times of trouble. Number five is this. Problem is, I got a bunch of them. In order to fulfill God's will for our lives, we must change. But are you ready? There are four things you cannot change. There are four things. Number one. I've already talked about it. You cannot change other people. Hard as you try, you can't change them. Mm-mm. Number two, you can't change your race. You can't change it. I know some of y'all want to be black. Some of you want to be white. Some of you want to be Hispanic. What do they call that? I heard a thing on the news today called blackfishing? Blackfishing is where a model, you hear about that? Blackfishing is where a model that is white tried to make herself look black. And who? How about that one lady who was over the NAACP, but she was like cornbread white? That's just crazy. You can't change your race. Now, I know this is going to be controversial in some areas. It better not be up in here. Number three, you can't change your gender. Can't do it. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, you're wrong. We're still praying for you. You can't change it. Well, we can have stuff removed. I didn't say that. I said you can't change your gender. Who you were born. Can't do it. That's the problem is we don't know who we are, even what we are anymore. And our kids are so confused. They don't know their gender. Take them to a vet. Let the vet tell them what they are. Here's another one you can't change. You can't change God's will. Well, I'll pray and God will change his mind. No, it doesn't work that way. See, you're used to your parent where you, if you throwed a big enough fit, then God would, then your parent would change. You can't have that. You can't have that. You can't have that. I want that. I want that. Okay, just be good and I'll get it for you. No. That ain't the way God parents. How do you know? Because I read the Bible. How does God parent? You can't have that. I want it, I want it, I want it. God puts his foot on your behind, not on your throat. The Bible said foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And I promise you, listen, I mean, people tell me, well, Pastor, you got lucky. No luck. I worked hard on my children. But I'm going to tell you what, if you work real hard in the beginning, you ain't got to work that hard at the end. Work real hard in the beginning. Work real hard. And be consistent. Not one day down. Don't do that. Okay, you can't. Don't do that. You're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. All right. I got 12 minutes to be done. I got 10 things I got to give you. What's that? Oh. Who was that? Oh, that was Aunt Maria. Oh. Mi hermana, cállate la boca. I'm messing with you. She said, for those of you who can't hear, she says in her Ecuadorian accent, oh, that was in a good way. I love you, Maria. Amen. What's my next slide? Come on, let me finish up. In order for change to take place, let me give you the Ten Commandments of change, all right? In order, these are on YouVersion, I think, right? Yeah, they're on. All right, in order for you to change, in order for change to take place, you must, number one, you must have a desire to change. You must have a desire to change. And, you know, and again, I said it in the earlier today, or in the service, but sometimes we don't have a desire to change. We just kind of like it the way it is. You know, have you ever been in a place in your life, you're like, oh, just nothing changes. Oh, if everything is just, I'm in a good place in my life. And I everything's going right now. And I don't want anything to change. Lord, could you just like keep it right here? Just freeze time. It don't work, baby. It don't work. All right, just freeze time right where I'm at because I'm in a good place. All my bills are paid. Some of y'all like that way in part of the month when everything's paid. Oh, just freeze time right here. Just freeze time right here because everything's paid. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but let's just freeze it right here because I'm current on everything. Hallelujah. But you got to have a desire to change. We don't change usually because we see the light. Most of the time we change because we feel the heat. That where we are is not producing what we want. You know, I lost about 5 or 6 years ago, I lost 40 pounds. I know I gained most of it back. I gained 20 pounds back. But I lost 40. It's not because I thought, I want to get healthy. No, my brother died. Then 18 months later, my other brother died. I go, well, whew, I might better start thinking about my health. And so I started jogging and lost a little bit of weight. Number two, stop making excuses. Well, I would change, but. I would, but. Quit making excuses, man. Time to make excuses is over. Number three, take immediate action. You know, I've learned that if I'll just take immediate action and instead of just thinking about it, trying to, you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, talking about, well, I need to pray every day. So I need to just get everything right. So, you know, you go get light your candle. Put on the mood music. Feed the dog. Get everybody out of the house that needs to be out of the house. And, okay. Lord, oh, I got a hangnail. Let me go check that. Everything's got to be done. No, just do it, man. When you wake up in the morning, just, you know, grab your phone or your Bible, whatever, and read a couple of scriptures. Well, but Pastor, I don't know. Just start where you are. You know, I seen somebody the other day that's, I can't remember the exact post, but they were like, you know, this morning I just did I wasn't able to go to a deep devotion. I just did a 15-minute devotion. And I was thinking, I wish everybody in the church would do a 15-minute devotion. I'd be awesome. You know, most people don't even do a devotion. Nobody here. You know, but we just run out of the house. Do something. Start where you are. Take immediate action. Number four, change how you see yourself. And I'm not talking about putting on some glasses. I'm not talking about that. Change how you see yourself. How do I do that, Pastor? Everything I'm talking about goes back to this. Why do you think the devil doesn't want you to read this? Because this changes you. This gives you the information needed in order to change. if you'll read it and process it. Let the Lord speak to you while you read it. Number five, never go back to past sins. Never go back to past sins. You know, I've said it before, and I'm just telling you, man, a bar stool don't fit my butt no more. I used to feel comfortable there. I don't feel comfortable in there no more. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to it. Number six, stop waiting for somebody else to initiate the change. Well, you know, my wife says, "Baby, when you go and say something that might hurt somebody's feelings, why don't you just drink a glass? Why don't you just have a little sip of water and think about it?" She's so wise. But stop waiting on somebody else to initiate your change. You know, and this is what bad, listen to me, couples. "Well, I would change, but my husband. I would change, but my wife." And we got a good men's group here, and I thank God. We got some great godly men here, and we got some real men. I'm not talking about little mamby-pamby, wimpy, limp-wristed men. We got some real men. And, you know, I'm talking about men who love their wives, man. Who loves their wives and wants to lead their wives. And then we got some men who don't have a wife and wants a wife to lead. So anyway, but when I talk about lead, I'm not talking about, you know, dragging. I'm talking about to lead. That I'm going to blaze the trail, baby, follow me. Almost every woman, if you get down to it, that's what they want, man. They want a husband who will blaze the trail in front of them. And it doesn't matter. Listen, you can be out of shape as long as you can blaze the trail. Right? Yeah. I mean, you can be ugly as long as you can just blaze the trail, man. Because you doing that makes you good looking in front of some of them. What do you think? Why you think Sherry's with me? I blaze the trail, baby. Mine's about 4 foot wide, but I blaze that trail. But anyway. But what we do is we wait for somebody else to initiate it. Quit waiting, man. And husbands, lead your wife. "Well, my wife wouldn't do that." Well, then do it. And I promise you, if you do it correctly, God's way, they'll follow. Now, the problem is, most of us men wait for the wife to start it. And we want the wife to do it, and then we just follow along behind. That's not God's way. That's not sexist. I'm just trying to tell you. There ain't a woman in this room, probably, that if her man would be the true godly man, I'm not talking about an ogre, iron-fisted man. I'm not talking about that. No, see, God took a woman from a man's rib, from his side, not in front, not back, not behind, not below, right beside it. And man, if you will lead correctly, your wife will love it. You know, when women libbers start talking about, you know, stuff, my wife says, "Y'all better leave my little situation alone. I got it good." I said, "Yes, you do, girl." Number seven, I got to quit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, Pastor? It means let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you. Ask Him into your situation. "Lord, help me." But this, when I say, "Lord, help me," I don't mean, "Lord, say, Lord, help me," and then you not do anything. It's, "Lord, help me find a job," but you don't look. "Lord, help me pay my bills," but you don't budget. "Lord, help me pay my bills," but you won't work. No. Number eight, let me get on. Never stop dreaming. Never stop dreaming. Dream big, talk big. God gifted you. Quit saying that it can never be better than where it is right now. It's a devil. That's a lie of the devil. "Well, I can never do better." Yes, you can. "Eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. Neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you." Number nine, know what your purpose is. Now, before you start sending me emails, I don't know what your purpose is. I know your purpose is to worship God. I know your purpose is to serve God, submit to God. But what is my specific purpose? You know, everybody's like, "I will go to Africa." Well, God just might just want you to go next door. Africa, but you won't come to church. All right, I'm done. Number 10. You must not be afraid of losing what you have. Because some of the things that we want, come on, let me help me demonstrate this. Some of the, boy, you're old too. Ugh! Come here, Dave. Yeah, that's what I expected. Stand up. Get right here for me. See, the problem that we have, guys, can everybody see? Hey, y'all come up on stage where everybody can see. Come on. Can you make it up the stage? A couple of steps. Come on. So here's, let's go back up here, over here. So here's what we got. Stand over here for me, Dave. And what we got is we're holding on. No, I'm not going to say the old. So here, let me get this one. We're holding on to the old. And we're wanting something new in our life. And we're reaching out and we can see it, but we can't get it. You're saying, God, I hear what the pastor's saying. I see what I read in the word and I want it, but this is my security blanket. I would rather have or know what I have instead of letting go to get what you said I could have. And see, there, and please, I don't know why I keep thinking this, but I'm not talking about leaving your spouse or something like that. I'm not talking about that. You're missing the message, man. But there's some things that you got to let go of in order to reach things that you need, that you desire, that you want in your life. And don't be afraid to lose it. Thank you, guys. It's just out of reach. What is it? What is that thing? Y'all always clowning. Y'all must go to the Crystal River Church of God. But what is it, man? What is it that you got to let go of in order to get that what God said you could have? You know, this is a true story. That one of the ways that they trap in Africa when they are poaching chimpanzees, they put a trap in and they reach in, and but they want them live because the brain of a chimpanzee is a delicacy, and they'll reach their hand in there to get something from the trap, and all they got to do is let go in order to pull their hand out, but they won't because what they're so curious, or whatever it is that they bait it with, they want it so bad that they won't let go. And some of you are inches away from where God wants you to be. Some of you are inches away from the change that you desire in your life, but you won't let go of a couple of things that are in your life. I challenge you tonight. Change is coming. I challenge you tonight. You have the power to change yourself. I'm not talking about positive thinking, and I agree with some of that stuff. But I'm talking about you have the power of the Holy Spirit. God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So those things that are keeping you anchored back and holding back, let go of it. And reach for what God has for you. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? I give you my word, man. If you're here tonight, I won't embarrass you. I promise, man. That's not my gig. But if you don't know Jesus, man, that's the first change that needs to take place. Is you need to ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin. And if that's you tonight, would you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Pastor, I don't know the Lord as my Savior, but I want to. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, walk down. I see that hand. God bless you. I'm not going to ask you to walk the aisle. But you just, that's where you start. Anybody else? Would everybody stand with me? And thank you, sir, for raising your hand. And I want to pray a prayer. And we're excited that you're making that decision. And as a symbol of our camaraderie, of how proud we are, everybody, I want you to pray this prayer with this young man. Heavenly Father, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood that I may be clean from this day forward. Go home with me. Go to work with me. I'll never be the same. Help me to know you on a personal level. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise in the house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.